find in the town to be bought out of my mind. I've been walking for days. I don't have the time to play. You're kind of parlay. So won't you come home soon? Won't you come home soon?
Oh, yeah, you are listening to 91.5 FM Tufts Freeform Radio in Medford, Massachusetts. Or, as I already informed Anton this morning, we're broadcasting from Carhide, the ice planet of forever winter. So, as you know, as most of you know, is this on? This is like back here. Yeah. I'm in a book club, okay? And it's been going on for a couple months, and I know that right now, I have to remind my listeners, hold your applause. You're alone, maybe you're at work, and you're like sitting there and you're like applauding me for this book club, and I just have to say, sit down, right? And like, it's okay. I like understand, and I've gotten the accolades that I need, that I need to like store up in my heart. We're reading The Left Hand of Darkness, and that's like a pretty big pump fake right after reading Gilead by Marilynne Robinson, maybe the best book ever written. And, anyway, we're doing great over here. And the majority of the books so far that I've read takes place on this like ice planet. And that's great because I also live on an ice planet. It's Medford, Massachusetts. And also, I'm broadcasting to you from the Icicle Manufacturer Center, the Icicle Manufacturing Depot, which is Curtis Hall, which gets icicles so bad because it's some sort of like roof, heat, sun combination that like massive icicles form on this building and not specifically really on any other building. And they have to like rope off the sides. You can't get physically close to this building because an icicle will fall on you. And that's why we have such good defenses here at WMFO. That's like why, you know, you want to talk to me, you got to call. You can't, there's no knocking on the door. There's no rolling up. The defenses are up, much like the palace of the old town in there's a lot of insane names. It's also it's like 19 I think it's 70s 80s sci-fi. A lot of it was like extremely specific world building where you're like, all right, we can't call it water, you know, we can't call yeah, on this planet, we're not going to call it marriage. We're going to call it Kemmerang. like it's everything that's going to be a little bit different. And you're just going to have to like pick it up. And that's what I think is like truly unique about that time period where they were like, look, they're not going to have the same words. Even when you think about it, obviously everybody on another planet is going to be speaking a different language. But when you translate that, you wouldn't translate it into equivalence. You would just be like, you know what? We're just going to keep the word. And if you choose to do that linguistically, pretty soon you realize that there is no, like, you're going to lose the plot a little bit, right? When we translate ancient languages, we have to sort of impart a few of the, conventions onto, like, what we would normally be having, like, we would have in the modern day. And that's just like from cultures contiguous with what we've got on Earth now, let alone some like shape-shifting culture of winter folk who are never in a hurry and can also predict the future. Not via, like, technology or magic, but just, like, straight-up can. Anyway, got some requests. And also, I've been informed that Anton just also read Gilead. Hey, congratulations to you out there. You can let me know your thoughts via text, and I'll relay them to the group. And we also just talked about, like, you know, the real like, masterful storytelling. The epistemological storytelling mechanism of Marilyn Robinson. Great. Well, yeah, I'm going to play some music. And if you've got music, I'll play it. You don't even have to worry. You don't even have to worry about whether or not I'm going to do it. But here we go. Okay. What do I got? These ones. That's it. Played.
For me in the sun, laying down to soak it all in before we had to run. I was always 10 feet behind you from the start, didn't know you were gone till we were in the car. Oh, the glory of it all was lost on me till I saw how hard it'd be to reach you, and I would always be light years away from you, light years away from you. Thought I saw your mother last weekend in the park. It could have been anybody. It was after dark. Everyone was lighting up in the shadows. Alone, you could have been right there next to me, and I'd have never known. Oh, the glory of it all was lost on me till I saw how hard it'd be to reach you, and I would always be light years away from you, light years away from you. Away from you, light years away from you.
Hey, what's up? You're listening to WMFO in Medford. Just heard Light Years by The National and Up Against the Wall by Peter, Bjorn, and John. And also because someone asked, that first song, Home Soon by Dope Lemon, which I have played in its entirety on this show a couple times, but also, I don't know, like, I've been kind of looking like maybe I have an intro song again. I used to play that Visioneers song, which is definitely like encapsulated in the memory of the late 2010s. And maybe I'm looking for another one, you know, to broadcast from the ice planet of Hoth here. I was reminded also that throughout the rest of this week, we're going to have temperatures in the real like mid-30s. So I'm expecting all of this snow to melt straight up. Or at the very least, every place that has like nobody, the people didn't shovel it. Also, to everyone who reached out, just a lot of love. A lot of commiseration around complaining about like who isn't like doing that. Ooh, I played something and I didn't mean to play something. A lot of commiseration about who isn't doing a very good job of shoveling their snow. But at the very least, when we get these thaws, the places where people have just sort of like made their own path through the snow, when it does get warm, those become nice little trenches of cold water. And then eventually that cold water is siphoned away, and then it's just like a dirty ground that you get to walk through, which I guess is better than falling into just like an ice pit. Anyway, to those who haven't shoveled their walk, please do that. Oh, did I lose something here? Yes. To those who haven't. Hello? Check, check. Hello? Hello? Yeah? Oh, weird. Lost it and it came back. Ooh, I'm gonna write that in an email. Not in a mean way, but like in an ops way. We have a new board. And so if my levels are weird, or if like the music is too loud, or there's clipping and stuff, please text me. Also texting me is Anton concerning his thoughts on Gilead, which we'll get to next. I think I'm going to play some more songs. I'm going to play your song, Anton. If anybody else has any requests, I'm going to play those songs too. But yeah, we're going to have a nice little show here today. I got a couple, I mean, I don't know. These are throwbacks, so I'm just sorry for people who think these are not, and that's tough. Okay.
A name I remember hearing. Wild winter, warm coffee, mom's gone. Do you love me? Blazing summer, cold. I can feel it burst. Rock me in your arms, I can feel it burst. Get up, get down, get up, get down. Feel the general tension and stop. See the next one waiting. Get up, get down, get up, get down. Get up, sit in the scene with a pair of feet changed. Get up, get down, get up, get down. Feel the general tension and stop. See the next one waiting. Get up, get down.
You in my legs before I ever met you, and when I lay beside you for the first time I told you I feel you in my heart.
I was yours, right? I was.
Hey, I am back. I'm learning all kinds of fun things about this board. It goes to sleep like a human would. Like a robot. Like we've said a robot goes to sleep, but it doesn't. Because we know, like, you know, androids don't dream of electric sheep. They do nothing. They dream in total darkness. That's the system dreams in total darkness. Coffee by Sylvanesso, which remains one of the greatest songs ever made. 19 by Tegan and Sarah. Santee Gold with Desperate Youth. Stereolab in the background. Anton's thoughts on Gilead. The simplicity of Marilyn Robinson is like something to behold. Because if you've never read Marilyn Robinson, and I tell you that this might be the greatest writer ever writing right now. Greatest alive writer. To be determined whether or not greatest writer of all time. I think that there's like a, you know, you tend to be like, oh my God. Actually, I had two friends from Texas visited us last night. We made balsamic mushroom pasta, which is what we make every time anybody comes to our house. Because you can make a ton of it and everyone's going to be happy. So everybody comes over, and we did the thing where it's like, hey, here's our house, this house. And they saw the kind of the little library that we have going in the front room. I built these shelves. They're the nicest thing I've ever built. And I have like a pretty, you know, speaking of disparate collections, I've got like a pretty weird collection of books because I give a lot of books away. I get a lot of books just kind of randomly. So what's on the shelf is not indicative of like, these are my favorites. But, you know, people are looking at them. And then there's some, like, that are never going to get moved. I have all these, like, classics of Western spirituality series books that are just like, what am I going to do? Take this off the shelf and read it? That's not going to happen. So I just, like, I have all this stuff. And we were looking through, and I was like, yeah, some of my favorite books or whatever. And then, of course, I say The Brothers Karamazov because, like, I need people, especially you listening. I need you to think that I'm smart. And I need you to reflect that back to me. So I was like, yeah, there it is. And we were talking about how like it's a pretty hard book. You got to really commit to it. And it kind of like loops around and it's kind of constantly like you're kind of constantly like messing with it and thinking about things. And it is great. But again, it's like something that you really have to sort of warm up yourself to do. Now, with any of these Marilyn Robinson books, and I'm speaking specifically about like Housekeeping, Gilead, and then Lila, which is... they're considered a series. She has another book on the book of Genesis, which is a little bit more like, hey, get ready, because there's going to be some thoughts here. But those three books, they're novels. And they're really like easy to read novels, but they're incredible because of how simple they are. And as Anton pointed out too, it's really cool how she can weave all these stories together, make it seem really authentic. Because again, like the book is a man writing letters to his son and trying to deal with the fact that he might not be alive for a lot of these big moments in his life. Like later on, he's like, I'm an old dad. I have to sort of understand that my mortality is coming. And I would love to sort of grow up and watch you grow up, but it's just not going to happen. Which is really, it's a hard thing, but it's not a heartbreaking book. It's a book where you're really trying to convey meaning, but it just does a really good job of conveying meaning through story. And also, too, just like five or six people randomly are like, this book. So there's a lot of kismet around that book where it's like, you know what we need? Not another book about how the brain works or about how AI is your brain or about how your brain will become AI or any of that stuff. Turns out we just need some awesome stories about humans that are observational and like meet us where they are and contain a lot of complexity and remind us just like the value of what it is to just like live and to grow and to like form these like bonds with people, and especially bonds with a community. That's a big piece to the story, is how the man just never has never left this small town of Gilead, Iowa, despite all the reasons that he could have, and despite all of his friends that do, and he still loves those people. All that's great, but like, there's such a piece of it of like, no, I know I could have left, but I didn't, and it's cool. It's really cool, and especially too, I've been thinking about his grandfather and all this stuff. Anyway. Book report over. What was the other thing I was going to tell you about? I just got a bunch of pictures from Bix on like, of like barnyard stuff. Once a week, they work at a homestead and love it. I'm all right. People say like touch grass. But I think the bucolic nature of sort of the pastoral setting is nice. And especially like animals, where it's like, this is kind of nice. I got all these animals around me and they're trying to live. That's a nice thing. Also, a considerable amount of snow in that picture too. I think winter farm is the biggest distance between something that really looks nice and something that is like a real mess to handle. Where you're like, oh, look at this wonderful blanketed pasture. And you're like, you know, for the farmer, it just makes everything that's already pretty hard even harder. So big time shout out to everyone who's dealing with like a foot of snow that I completely expect to be gone by, you know, will we see patches of grass by the end of this week when we also, we're also getting snow tonight also. This has been the weather update. We're not getting any, nobody's getting any of that. I don't know. It's tough to predict the snow. Also, it's tough to predict how I sound because there's this weird echo in the studio, which I think is a time delay between the headphones and the digital board, which just means like I got to turn down my headphones a little bit and then it doesn't give the same sort of feedback that you normally would get. All right. What was I saying? Oh, and for BK and also Paradise Lost and whatever, I mean, there's something to be said about, like, you need to know what you're doing in order to read this book, and that's great, just because, like, things that are really, really hard and kind of have high barriers to entry are also very, very rewarding. We know this. Think of, like, school or athletic achievement. But then also, like, it's really nice to be, like, you know, anyone... I truly believe, like a high schooler could read Marilynne Robinson books and really get a lot from them just now. So, all right, this has been Book Talk. You want to call 855-915-WMFO. I don't know if the phones work. It's things change by the week here. I got a couple requests, including this one coming up right now. Thank you.
Just been cruising with a ton of clothes, and we'll meet up with whoever, 'cause the truth is we hardly know. Taking on a rhythm, it's all we give. Put on the traveling and back to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know if you can hear me. Yeah, you can. Maybe not. I don't know. Ooh, loud. Oh, we got a caller. Here, I got a... Well, how do I know which one is... Hello, person? All right. I'm going to cut back to just regular old talking. If you are calling, and you are Bex, probably, I'm still a little iffy on how to answer these phones. So anyway, we'll get it done. We'll get it done, even though I like keep sending out the the PSA, or not the PSA, the studio number. I am going to read this PSA, which, according to the book, a lot of people have in specific demand here, so I'm going to say it. Looking for some sweet, great-tasting snacks that are also healthy for you? Try eating dried fruits. Dried figs, apples, cherries, bananas, apricots, peaches, pears, pineapples, raisins, cranberries, prunes, blueberries, mangoes, and oh so many other fruits are both tasty and good for you. Many dried fruits are excellent natural sources of cancer-fighting dietary fiber. Read the labels to understand which brands have added sugars, preservatives, and other ingredients. But no matter what, eating pretty much any kind of fruit is going to be better for you than candy or a processed snack. A public message from all the fruits and nuts here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Thank you for listening to that. And according to the PSA book, there was like a wild goose chase for that particular PSA, including a reward. So there's a nice crisp new page right in there. So hey, no, don't worry. The dried fruit PSA is back, and it will be read. Also, and I read this one last week, Balkan Music Night at the Armory on the 28th. That's a little bonus PSA for you. I played two songs in that last set. The first one was Alina by Yumi Zuma, which is awesome. And Anton, you're awesome for requesting it. And then we also played We Stayed Up All Night featuring Arden by Tourist. Also really a fun song. I don't know why I'm talking like this now, but I think it's because of this echo. Like, we got a real echo situation here going. But yeah, I think I am going to just play like one more song. And I'm going to play a song that all two people that listen to this show see coming. Also, I've been informed now from my producer that was not Bex that just called in. So that's just like, I apologize to you, the listener, who tried to call in and the phones are just still... I just can't answer the phones in the same way that I used to on the new board. And I'm sure there'll be some pending emails about how to fix that or how to figure that out. Because I do like taking calls, especially from random people. Because I do think... truly in my mind that like one, potentially three people listen to this show. And it's always like a great reminder too that folks are listening through the airwaves, because 91.5, you know, you can get anywhere. I listen to this show, this station, in my basement in Medford. And it's great. It's great background music when I'm filling out expense reports. Anyway, one more song. I bet you can guess it because it's this.
Spring has arrived early here, a time for lovers, and it's as if the season mocks my sadness.
Hey, thanks for everybody who listened. And yeah, I think we hit three people today, so that was full. I'm gonna go have a celebratory donut. Stay cool, and I'll see you next week.